You are here by grace through faith to hear God's word and receive God's gifts. Thanks be to God. You'll notice that we are vicarless. He was here at the 8 o'clock service, but he's got a good friend from the seminary who is being ordained today in Neely, Nebraska. So probably an extra prayer or two that the New York vicar would be able to find Neely, Nebraska, and then also be able to find Lincoln back. So we pray safe travel and that they have a joyous celebration today. A couple of words on our worship service for today. Our opening hymn, number 904, Blessed Jesus at Your Word. We'll stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. That's on page 184 and following. Page 184 and following. Propers for the day are on the inside of the bulletin. Readings are on the back page. Outline of the service is on the edge. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you shower down upon us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We thank you for family. We thank you for our material possessions. We thank you for the various vocations that you have placed us in. Heavenly Father, there are many times when the things of this world, the worries, the cares, our job, our family, these things cause us grief and heartache. These things become our gods. Heavenly Father, help us today to hear your word, to put everything in a proper perspective, and most of all, to hear and heed your gracious invitation to come to the great supper, to come to the great banquet meal, to come and be refreshed by the only one who can truly refresh, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we gather, worship, and pray, crucified and risen for us and for the life of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 904.
Divine Service Setting 3, page 184, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We sing together the introit.
Day of my coming.
Since you never fail to help and govern those whom you nurture in your steadfast fear and love, work in us perpetual fear and love of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for this morning, the second Sunday of Trinity, comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Have mercy upon us, O Jesus.
comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in our one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand and sing the Alleluia. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the cities and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste my banquet.' This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, hymn 514.
Grace and peace Love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the gospel reading that we heard just a moment ago, the parable of the great banquet, especially these words. But Jesus said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, generation after generation, time goes on. Generation after generation, people live and people die. Generation after generation, the invitation goes out to the great banquet, the great supper. Generation after generation. We heard the children sing just a little bit ago, didn't we? "A multitude comes from the east and the west to sit at the feast of salvation with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the blessed, obeying the Lord's invitation. Have mercy upon us, O Jesus." As the generations passed, the falling away accelerates. Those are hard words to hear, aren't they? As the generations pass, as time goes on, the falling away from Christ and the church accelerates. What happened? What changed? Well, the banquet didn't change. The banquet meal of God, the meal that has been prepared by the perfect life, obedient death, and glorious resurrection of Jesus. Forgiveness, full and free. The heavenly meal that brings life everlasting. The medicine of immortality. That banquet meal, that great supper, that invitation that goes out for the food and drink of eternal life hasn't changed a bit. But people, they hear that call. The supper is ready, but they're not really hungry. And so that invitation falls on deaf ears. Reminds us of Mary's words from the Magnificat. "He has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he has sent empty away." It's a fact of life. Only hungry people are interested in food. Only hungry people want to sit down and eat. Here in America, and I suppose it's not just America, but a Western culture kind of a thing, here in America, people are really practical. What's in it for me? What works? I want to see some immediate benefit. And if things don't happen, if things don't work as quickly as we want, if we're not satisfied, well then we begin to make excuses. Our practical disappointments, our practical concerns lead us to say, what's the point? Or in today's language, is it really an essential service? My friends, Luther teaches us that hunger is the best cook. Think about that. When you're not hungry, no matter how fancy the meal is or how expensive the meal is, it's just not that big a deal. But when you are hungry, really hungry, Every meal is like a feast. It's like a banquet. It's about 35 years ago, almost to the day, that I preached my first sermon. St. Paul Lutheran Church, West Point, Nebraska. A lot to reflect on those 35 years. A lot of memories, a lot of things that have happened in the church. Now, I don't think I am personally directly responsible for this statistic, but the statistic is true nonetheless. Over the last 35 years, church attendance in America has dropped by 50%. I don't think it's all my fault. Those are staggering numbers, aren't they? Think about that. In 3.5 decades, people have just stopped coming to church. What's the problem? How can we win back people? How can we win back the youth? So, people hire consultants. They check into books written by experts. They go after every fad and gimmick that you can possibly imagine. Well, we have to change. We have to change. Let's change the music. Let's change the dress of the pastor. Let's change the architecture. Let's change from a book to a screen. Let's change from an organ to a rock and roll band. Let's get a coffee shop over here. My friends, these things don't work. Oh, they might work for a little while, but they don't work. You know why? People have not stopped coming to church because they objected to the style of what was going on. People have stopped coming to church because they're not hungry, because they object to the substance of what is going on in the church. People, many people, do not want what the church has to offer. What does the church have to offer? Jesus, the forgiveness of sins earned by the perfect life, bloody death, and glorious resurrection of Jesus. This is the great banquet. This is the great supper. This is the invitation and gospel call that goes out. All of the other things that happen in church are extras, additions, benefits. The heart, the core, the soul, the guts of Christianity is Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. My friends, when we think about those statistics for the last 35 years, we need to be honest. Shouldn't surprise us, it's nothing new. Our times, our culture, our generation is really nothing different than the group, the generation that Jesus preached to in our text. Jesus was preaching to a bunch of Pharisees who were full of themselves and didn't think they needed the message of salvation. Here was Jesus, God in the flesh. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, and they weren't hungry. They didn't care. They were full of their own self-righteousness. They didn't need what Jesus came to bring. They didn't need a Savior. They certainly didn't need a suffering Savior. And they certainly, certainly did not need a bloody death for the forgiveness of sins. These Pharisees had came up with a system of rules and regulations where they would feel good about themselves. They would compare themselves to other people. They thought they were doing a pretty good job. God must love them. In our society today, it's probably a little bit different than that. But people are not hungry. They have no need for what Jesus has to offer. They have work. They have their family. They have the cares and worries of life. These things take precedence. These things are more important. After all, there'll always be another invitation to the great banquet, right? There'll always be another church service, right? I can't tell you how many times I have heard in the last 60 days people who have come up to me and said, "Pastor, I will never, ever take going to church for granted again." Maybe something good will come out of these strange pandemic days. My friends, when we think about it, this gospel call that goes out, this invitation to the great banquet hasn't changed. It hasn't changed at all. From Adam and Eve to Noah to Moses to Abraham to all the prophets and patriarchs through John the Baptist, Jesus himself, even today, the message is the same. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. You hear that? Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no peace. Without the shedding of blood, there is no true worship. Without the shedding of blood, there is no fellowship with God. And it is this message that goes out and has been going out since the beginning of time. The message, the invitation, the gospel banquet is exactly the same. I've been hearing a lot lately that we are living in unprecedented times. Never before in the history of the world has anything happened like this. Well, come on, folks. We can be honest that there's some pretty crazy stuff going on right now. Maybe things that we have never or rarely experienced in our lifetimes. But come on. Unprecedented times? Since Adam and Eve brought sin into the world, throughout the history of the world, we have had war and rumor of war. We have had unjust murder. We have had earthquakes and floods and droughts and famines. There was even a time when there was a great plague, where instead of 98% of the people who got the plague getting sick and then getting better, 99% of the people died. Unprecedented times. We need to put things in perspective. The people in this world, the people of God, have lived through plague and pandemic before. Through political uncertainty and national crisis, through riots and looting and murders, but nothing new under the sun. And through it all, the same exact gospel message has gone forth. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Come to the feast, everything is ready. The most precious gift that you can ever have is this gift of Jesus for you, for forgiveness, life, and salvation. The most precious words you will ever hear are the words spoken into your ear by your pastor, "My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven." Not by what you do, say, pay, or pray, but by the bloody death and glorious resurrection of Jesus. the most precious meal that you will ever eat is the meal of Christ's body and blood in with and under bread and wine. Forgiveness, life, and salvation for you. The great banquet meal, worship, the Lord's Supper, these are precious and essential things to people who are hungry. Why does Jesus teach this parable? Well, he's not teaching you that if you make less excuses, you can earn your way into heaven. That's not what this is about. Jesus is teaching us that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is more precious than the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not your work, not your property, not your family. There's a lot of talk in our world today how we need to have more balance. We need to balance church and family. We need to balance church and work. We need to balance church and the things that are going on in the world. My friends, I got to tell you, this whole notion of balance with regard to the things that Jesus is talking about in our gospel reading for today, it's a lie. It's a lie. I defy you to find anywhere in God's word where it says you should balance out all the things of this life with your relationship to God. Instead, Jesus says, Sermon on the Mount, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you as well. Seek first. And you know, when we do that, an amazing thing happens. When we seek first the kingdom of God, when we hear and heed the invitation to come to the great banquet, our work generally goes better. Our family life generally goes better. Everything that we own, all of our stuff, all of our possessions, assume their proper position and perspective, and they are no longer our false idols. Jesus is teaching us in our text, in our parable today, about the importance of the gospel, about the importance of hearing God's word and receiving God's gifts. We can say it this way. He's talking and teaching to us the importance of going to church. You want to know why people don't go to church? It's not all that complicated. You don't need to hire a consultant or buy a book. People don't go to church because they can't admit who they really are. Did you hear the words in our parable for today? The invitation goes out, and people who were not hungry, people who were too busy, they were really polite about it, but they turned down the invitation. They didn't care. The master says, go and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. You know who that is? That's us. That's us, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. We're not worthy of the invitation, and Christ invites us anyway. We are crippled by the sin and the consequences of sin that attacks us every day. Sometimes it's self-inflicted. Jesus invites us anyway. We are rich in the things of this world, but we are poor. Poor in spirit. At least we are if we meant the words that we confessed earlier. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I ever offended thee. We're blind. Oh, we see the things of this world, but we are blind to the things of God. When we can admit who we are, blind, lame, crippled, poor, then the invitation sounds so sweet. We are hungry for the things of God because we're not so full of ourselves. Jesus doesn't just invite us to the great banquet. He gives us the very best. The riches of food, the best of wines. He gives us himself. The forgiveness of sins. His supper. His feast. And his supper, his feast, his great banquet does something. It transforms us. It transforms us. We come into God's house weak, and we leave strong in the Word of God. We come into God's house poor, miserable sinners, and we leave rich in the forgiveness of sins. We come into God's house sick, spiritually sick, sick of life, sick of this world, sick of our sin. And we are fed the medicine of immortality, and we are given health and life in His name. We come into God's house, to the great banquet, naked. And we leave robed with the righteousness of Christ. We come in blind. And God opens our eyes so that we can see Jesus as the light of the world and our Savior from sin. My friends, today the message is simple. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. At the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." This is Jesus' word for you, right here, right now. This gracious invitation, "Come, for everything is ready." It's not a new law. It's a gracious gospel invitation. Come, come. It's not like Jesus is sitting on top of a ladder and he says, "Come on up. Work your way up, climb the rungs by your good deeds." No, Jesus came down the ladder for us. He took on flesh and blood. He made his dwelling among us. He lived a perfect life. He died the death we'd earned and deserved. He rose from the dead, and now he pours out his forgiveness, life, and salvation here in the great banquet. The waters of holy baptism, the words of absolution, the hymns and the liturgies that extol Christ crucified for you, the very supper of Christ's body and blood. Jesus says, "Come. Come as you are. Come. Come with your past, your shame, your sin, your sorrow. Come with your worry, and especially during, hopefully, these last days of the pandemic, come with your fear. Real or imagined, it doesn't matter. Come. Come with your fear. Come with your weakness, your problems of every time. Come. Come to the only one who can give comfort. Come to the only one who can heal. Come to the only one who can give you strength for whatever life has in store. Come. And the forgiveness that Jesus has won will give you strength and confidence and drive away your fear. The Holy Spirit invites you. The Holy Spirit compels you. Come. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our fears in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to sing and rejoice and confess our faith in the words of the offertory. We need a new heart. And that's exactly what God gives us. Please stand as we sing.
Create in me a new, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Welcome to the great banquet of our Lord. Normally at this time, we would pass the attendance books. Well, we took care of attendance registration when we came in. Normally we would pass the collection plates. There's a box when you came in for your offering. If you didn't hit it on the way in, you can catch that on the way out. It is different right now, but we are slowly and surely getting back to normal here with our corporate worship services, and we pray that God would richly bless us and keep us safe during these days of pandemic. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio, on the internet, or on YouTube. We are thankful that these are services that we can provide. We are thankful to be able to bring the word of God, especially to people who are truly, truly shut in and locked in. But these are stopgap measures, and we pray that in God's good time, people would be confident enough, that you would be confident enough to come to the great banquet. We continue now with the prayers of the church. Please stand as you're able.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, responding, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, by your grace, we who once were far off have been brought near to you by the blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Remove from us all pride and vanity, and give to us humble hearts that recognize that you have graciously made us members of your household without any merit or worthiness in us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, continue to raise up faithful servants among us, that the invitation to your great wedding banquet would be delivered in all places, and your banquet hall would be filled with sinners who are redeemed by Christ the crucified. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Father, bless the churches of the Augsburg Confession throughout the world with continued zeal for the truth of your word. Keep them steadfast in the faith and devoted to the proclamation of the pure gospel and the administration of the sacraments according to Christ's institution. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, look upon the poor, the hungry, the homeless, and the unemployed with compassion, and tend to their needs. Remove from us any excess love of earthly treasures, that we would be moved to aid when able. Bless the charitable organizations and social agencies of our land, that relief would be found in them for those who need it, especially those affected by the pandemic and the response to it. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, bestow your blessing on the vocation of fatherhood, that fathers would love and provide for their children, and that children would respect and honor their fathers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Compassionate Father, have mercy on all who are suffering and desire your aid and care and comfort at this present time. Especially be with those in our own midst, including Ron, Janet, Dick, Barb, Lynn, Sarah, Jerry, Vern, Luke, Marilyn, Greg, Andy, Julie, Nancy, and all others whom we name in our hearts. According to your gracious will, heal their infirmities and give them strength to bear their crosses in Christian patience. Give continued wisdom to those who lead and to those who serve, especially those in harm's way. Give comfort to those who mourn, including the family of Joyce Papstein. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you're the giver of all good gifts. We thank you for the gift of daughter Bella, born to Ramon and Daisy Marcano. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd bring Bella safely to the waters of holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Father, here at the holy altar, we are blessed to receive a foretaste of the feast to come at your great banquet. As we partake of the very body and blood of Christ, which is for us the medicine of immortality, forgive our sins and preserve us in body and soul unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. We stand and sing.
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We sing our closing hymn.
Again, welcome, welcome in the name of Jesus. Welcome to the great banquet. The invitation goes out until the end of time. Thanks be to God for the way he graciously gives his gifts. If you picked up the Good Shepherd news and notes when you came in, great. If not, they're on the table when you entered. We've got news and notes for the last 2 weeks there as well. I know people have been kind of slowly working their way back to church. We want to make sure everybody has the prayer requests and the announcements that are there, so help yourself to those. We have a voters assembly coming up 1 week from tomorrow, Monday the 29th of June, 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And the big thing that we have is it's budget time, and we need to approve the budget for the next year. And you know, it's been pretty amazing. The budget numbers look really good. So the people of God have really, really, really responded in a great way here at Good Shepherd. We're thankful for that, and we want to make sure that everybody is well-informed and well-aware as we move into the future, whatever that future looks like. Last Friday, we had a Red Cross blood drive here at Good Shepherd, our second blood drive since the pandemic began. Everything went without a hitch. I believe we had 34 or 35 units of blood that were donated, thanks be to God, and thanks to all the volunteers that helped. Our human care chairman, Adam Mankin, is at a family wedding this weekend, so he couldn't be here, and a lot of people pitched in and made sure that that was a great success. If you stick your head in the fellowship hall, you'll see it's pretty wide open. We left it that way from the blood drive. We are hoping very soon to get Sunday morning a little bit back to normal. We're going slowly, step by step. We're hoping to get started sometime in July with adult Bible study. A couple of our elders have some ideas about getting rid of the round tables, putting the long tables in a different direction so that we can maximize not only the number of people in there, but social distancing and all of that sitting as families. So if you see that we don't have the tables up, you don't need to rush and put them all back up there. They're down for a reason until the elders can meet and make some decisions on that. Pastor?
The Church Fellowship Committee is working on creating a meal train. It's real easy. The way that it works is if somebody had a baby or a medical emergency, we'd put together the email on the meal train, and you could sign up online to bring them a meal a particular day at a particular time. We've done it a couple times here, and it's working pretty well. If you're interested in signing up for the meal train, contact Sarah Caldall, or I think in your news and notes there's an email address for you to email as well, and that'll go right to the fellowship committee also, and they can help you get signed up for it that way also.
Okay. You heard in the prayers something about the churches of the Augsburg Confession. That's us. That's who we are. That's what we believe, teach, and confess. The 25th of June is the anniversary of the presentation of the Augsburg Confession, 1530. And every year here at Good Shepherd, when that falls on a Sunday or near a Wednesday, we have a special observance. It's kind of like Reformation Day in June. That'll be this Wednesday night. This Wednesday night, we'll be celebrating the presentation of the Augsburg Confession at 6:30. I think that's all. Seriously, keep Vicar in your prayers that he doesn't get lost. And we pray God's blessings as this invitation to the gospel feast continues in us and through us till the end of time. God's richest blessings in Christ.